Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and I know I've used it before several times, but I need to say Patreonize. The Star Wars movies, 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
And I'm Brian Holtz, Patreon, and I was going to come up with like a really clever .com so Pete would have to purchase that domain name, .com. But then I just looked up stayontarget.com and that's taken, so I assume you did that.
No, I don't think that's me. That might be the department store.
That'd be a good one. But then, so logically, you know, stayontarget.com is still out there.
All right. Well,
the double.
Maybe not anymore. We'll see.
Well, at the time this is airing, it legally you have to buy it, right?
Unless I edit that out.
Oh,
we'll see.
Dangerous and disturbing.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. You're the last of our all-stars for this season. You are you're a supporter, Patreon supporter, and you supported us during the long hot hiatus over the summer. And you are now in the club. We'll say in the club. You're in the guest commentators club.
Yes, thank you for having me. And thank you guys for all the joy that you bring with your guests, all the laughter I've had, at least the mayonnaise and, you know, certain points of view and all of that. So, and in true Swimmel's fashion, I did eat Arby's on the way home today. Running a bit late. So,
yeah. Wow. We should get a cut of that Arby's time every time someone buys it because of us.
We got them to recognize us once on Twitter, but we got to play that up a little bit more, maybe.
StarWarsMinute.com/Arby's.
Now we're talking.
.com.
And then they can track. They'll know where the web traffic is coming from, and we'll be like, "Look, you see what we give you? We'll do it on spec." Can you get spec at Arby's?
Mr. Bacon?
Today, we're not here to talk about Arby's. We're here to talk about Minute 90 of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Minute 90 starts with Kylo breaking it off with Rey. Oh. And
it's a shame.
Ends with Snoke really slowly saying, "Bring her to me." So I guess he's kind of going, you know, if they were a couple and they were breaking it off, and then Snoke was like, "Oh, bring her to me." He has no chill. He's no respect. He's just kind of like, "Oh, you guys, you know, broke it off. Like, can I talk to her?"
Yeah, that just seemed to violate the bro code.
Yeah.
You know, that
bro code.
That last me was the only time that I got the Andy Serkis Gollum thing, and was like, you know, Gollum is free at the end, but
well, here
I thought about it at the beginning when he says the scavenger resisted you. That to me sounded like a Gollum, like a Smeagol kind of line.
This is going to be controversial.
Uh oh.
But I'm not the kind of like Andy Serkis fanboy that a lot of other people are. I thought he was great as Gollum. I thought he was good as Claw. But overall, I don't. It's not like everything he does is magical and amazing. And I'm
Planet of the Apes.
I don't. I only saw the first one of those, the new ones, and he was okay. I don't love Snoke in this movie. I like him more in The Last Jedi, but I don't love Snoke in this movie.
I would say I don't love him, but I would say he's definitely better in the next one.
Right.
It's weird that they made such a big deal about getting a motion capture guy when all Snoke does is just sit on that chair and like he could be played by a stick puppet for all the, you know what I mean? It's like a Wayland Flowers and Madam puppet kind of a thing up
now
there.
Now you're talking.
He's in the chair and the only thing he does the entire time is he's like does a one hand squeeze when he says crush them.
Mm. You don't even see his left hand, do you, in the whole movie?
Maybe he doesn't have a left hand.
That's a conspiracy theory, yeah. But, maybe if we did see it, we would know who he was.
I really wish they did make him big.
Yeah, giant Snoke.
Tom Hanks.
Oh, so Snoke goes to the boardwalk and puts a quarter in and goes on an adventure.
He was just a normal-looking boy. Then he put a quarter in the machine and he's like, I wish I was big. And he turns into Snoke. It's kind of be careful what you wish for.
I just want to see him running around on Max Rebo's piano, his giant piano.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. And of course, you've probably already asked this question, but I have to ask it on behalf of everyone else. What does Snoke's hologram smell like?
That room looks really dusty. I picture it smelling like an old dusty room. Like mothballs.
Well, later, spoilers, stuff falls, debris falls through his hologram. So I'm getting like it's a humidifier, 80s humidifier that you plug in the winter and it's that little musty, always must smell.
Yeah, you both of your answers are making me and
irritating your throat.
No. Sorry. Both of your answers are kind of convincing me that Snoke's chamber smells kind of like my grandmother's house. So I guess that makes sense because Snoke looks kind of like he could be my grandmother.
And your grandmother was played by motion capture Andy Serkis.
Yeah, it's true. We didn't know who the hell he was at the time. But once I saw Lord of the Rings, I was like, hey, it's Grandma.
Never enough hair. Grandma never had enough hair.
No.
So I'm a few weeks behind, just starting back at the beginning of the minute. I'm definitely a few weeks behind on my commuting listen, but I noticed very quickly that the sound of the Force is here, and it's got a really good bottom end if you're listening to a subwoofer.
Yeah, totally.
And that wasn't a thing in the original trilogy, and it was started to come in the like the prequels, so every time they did a Force push, you'd get that little bit of a whoosh sound followed by a kind of a jet engine passing by, muted. But now it's all the time. So mind probe, telekinesis, and it's definitely in your face as a sound. And then for the kids, what kind of file would a file format would a audible Force be? And that's a MIDI for the kids.
Was there some factor in you always hear about how movies always have that that blue and orange contrast? You know what I mean? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Those two colors. Yeah, orange and teal.
That's in here. Yeah.
But I thought also there was one of those things that people like movies that have. That's why so many movies end with big explosions, is that people like that feeling of a rumbly bass kind of feeling. So that's why they keep putting it in there.
I feel like we're sure it wasn't in. I mean, it was more subtle, I think, but wasn't it in some of the original ones? Like when Vader chokes Mahdi, don't we get a little like kind of like very, they didn't have, THX 5.1 Dolby surround anything, but I think there is a little bit of at least an audio component to it.
I think you're right. I think that just the technology has increased so much that, you feel it a lot more.
Right.
Yeah, now it's crushing our throats too, not just modern.
Well, that's you pay extra for that. It's in 4D, right? Where you get like it's the
Yeah, like Kentucky Fried movie.
Right.
Ryan, have you ever seen one of those 4D movies?
I have not, and I barely remember Kentucky Fried movie, which is too bad.
It's hit or miss.
When I was 12, I would have disagreed with you wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And I feel like the last time I revisited it, it didn't quite hold up, but still it's got some amazing, I don't know. It's hard to look at it outside of the, you know, compare it to what's come after. Because so many things were kind of, you know, in the vein of, well, more so Airplane. But that, you know, it's a natural evolution and to go back and step back. And, you know, it's like showing a caveman a pocket watch.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, that old saying. So I'm not a huge fan of Hammy Snoke. Hammy Snoke, which is an old blues man. I love the kind of interplay and the fact that they're both kind of vying for the, it makes them like oddly childlike more so than the fact that they're young, kind of like, you know, go-getters, whippersnappers, but they're also like, you know, they're all kind of like staring up, you know, it's almost like Muppet Babies and they're talking to Nanny, you know, like, just because they're both like looking up in the sky towards this, like, you know,
more
kind of authority
more
figure
of that your grandmother.
Yeah, they're trying to exactly. We're gonna get to the bottom of this before we're done.
I love that pan. So the hologram is there, and you pan right down to Kylo, and it's really energetic because you've got that blocking where Kylo's in front, and Hux comes in from the back, and you can see Kylo just getting more petulant, more moody, and just pouting all the way as, you know, Hux comes in and starts talking about how the droid is they don't have it. And it's just Hux waltzing in and chewing scenery. What I just quickly realized is how different it was from The Phantom Menace or, you know, the other prequels where that would have been a shot, reverse shot. I actually went back and found the spider crawling hologram with the Emperor, and it's like, it was shot, reverse shot, and then it stops walking so he can deliver his final wipe them out line. And this is much more interesting visually, and it's just a talking scene, but it carries the tension a lot very well.
Yeah.
Well, it also helps that Hux and Kylo Ren also have a relationship with each other. You know, Hux is gleefully throwing Kylo Ren under the bus here, so there's also that dynamic at play, which the prequels never really... I feel like a lot of times you never really... Like, I don't know how Padme and Obi-Wan felt about each other. Like, were they friendly with each other? Did they tell jokes? But like, generally, that's the problem with the prequels. There's not a lot of interaction between the supporting... This shouldn't turn into a whole prequel smashing thing, but I just like the fact that there's also, you also get the feeling of the rivalry between Hux and Kylo Ren.
Right.
And rivalry wise, my friend Naughty Shot had, so it was a quick call out there. Did want to point out that look at Kylo Ren's hair. Adam Driver's got luxuriant full set of hair, and he does not wear a helmet ever. As someone who has worn a helmet before, and she's worn derby helmets and things, and it's like, that's not natural.
It's the Force.
There are many talents that the Kylo Ren has, which would be considered unnatural. Can I get hair like that, Master?
Modern things, to jump in, sorry, is the overlay Snoke's saying the scavenger, while we're still looking at Rey in the scene before. So there's that, the bleed over, and I'm sure there's a wonderful term for that in filmmaking, as the audio comes in from the next scene before it's transitions.
Right.
Yeah, that is a modern thing.
Well, it's old. I mean, they use it more now. Technique was around. It was like a sound bridge, or like sometimes it's called a J cut, I think, because of that, like on film, you know, you'd have to do it and you would cut like kind of the audio track before, because the audio track's on one side, you cut that, so you end up with like a little, the film looks a little bit like a J, I think.
Hmm. I just meant modern in the sense that the old Star Wars movies generally did not do that kind of.
No, you can do it. I know what you meant. I'm just trying to prove that I went to film school at some point.
write off your student loans.
There we go.
It's a check mark in the box, like very justified existence in film school. Check.
Yeah. No, you were the one who taught me the word diegetic.
Yeah, within the diegesis, we have a lot of
page 364.
That would be a great name for a band, diegetic, because you're listening to it in real life, so it's the music you're hearing is diegetic. So
right.
We are diegetic.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's been really subtle. Not subtle. It's been there. It's been obvious, I guess. Opposite of subtle. But
that was quite a journey it took.
But here it's for the first time explicitly said that Rey is strong with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that she was special somehow, maybe. You know, we started to get an idea. And then as this stuff has been going on with the lightsaber, and now with Kylo Ren kind of, you know, the going back and forth, we start to get an idea. And now, but here, it's explicitly spoken out loud that she was strong with the Force.
Yeah. It's official.
Yeah, and it's going to build up to that wonderful scene a little bit later, and as I, you know, I got the notification that I had won the raffle, which is actually I logged into the Q&A, the live Q&A Patreon session, and was like, oh yeah, because they're going to announce it, everything's going to be cool, and they're going to call my name because I kind of win raffles is what I do, historically speaking, anyway. And midway through, and I didn't get in live, I was doing other stuff, but loaded it up a few hours later and was expecting to hear that. And then midway through, there's a question from the audience and, hey, what about Patreon All-Star Week this season? And a little bit behind the scenes for everyone just listening, Pete and Alex kind of shared a little glance of maybe you could fill this in. It wasn't panic, but it was like, right. But, you know, 3 weeks later, they've already taken care of it. So, good on you guys for turning things around quickly. I was going to basically say I'm really excited about doing this minute. And I was looking at, there's, 35 minutes or so left in the movie. And I'm sure the Ben Kylo's already been, assigned, and that awesome minute with Rey drawing the lightsaber to her with the Force theme and the Burning Homestead cue and, the cellos, and everyone knows exactly what that is, but that's that hero no going back. So we know she's got the Force now. I mean, we already knew that, but now it's been imprinted on us, and as soon as she gets that lightsaber, she's assumed the hero mantle, right? Just like Luke went back to the Bryn homestead, and his next line is, "Hey, I'm going to go to Alderaan with you." Mm-hmm. And she's saying, "I'm, you know, Kylo, you just killed Han. I think you just killed Finn. I'm going to stop you now." Right. Mm-hmm. And I think just like everyone else, I got chills. I did a little eye dab after seeing that in the theater the first time.
Yeah.
Where did you see it the first time?
I think in Kent, Washington. Not exactly the most exciting location in the world, but they had the reclining leather seats and everything and assigned seating. So it's a good good theater, but I don't know the exact name. It's somewhere on I-5 between Seattle and Tacoma.
Just up the road. For me.
Yep. Yep.
It's funny that you say that you talk about winning the raffles because another behind the scenes glimpse, you were actually the alternate because somebody else declined the invitation. So I
had to rig it a little bit.
Yeah, that person said that they were getting a lot of threats and stuff, so I don't know, just didn't want to do it. But lucky brig for you, I guess.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, they said yes, and then somebody happened to assault them and beat them about the throat with a...
I like to call it a mind trick.
No, there you go.
One thing we also learned in this minute, I think we learned it in this minute, it's definitely mentioned, is that they are tracking... They know where the Rebel base is because good old Snap Wexley, they followed Snap Wexley back to the Rebel base after he did reconnaissance. Is that my understanding this correctly?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
How bad are you at reconnaissance if you wind up bringing the bad guys along with you?
Every ship has a tracking device. None of them have cloaking devices, but they all have tracking devices.
Yeah, it's... yeah, Snap.
Makes it easy to find. I guess that's why nobody steals ships. Well, the Millennium Falcon was stolen, but... That's why you can just kind of leave it. You know, you can just drive up to Geonosis and park with the canopy open and come back and your CDs are all still in the glove compartment.
If it's parked on a planet, it's completely inoperable and unfindable, untraceable. But once it's out in space, it's anyone's.
Right.
Well, don't forget, Anakin, too, stole a spaceship. He stole one of the speeders on Coruscant. Right. He just jumped in it and it happened to be the keys in it. You could take right off immediately.
Yeah. It's everybody trusts everybody.
So, yes, good job, Snap. Supreme Leader, I can get the map from the girl. That's when he busts out the nasal, like, impatient Kylo Ren voice. I like that.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's not the selfish... I mean, he's a Knight of Ren, he's not a Sith, but that's not the selfish way, so I'm wondering if that's Snoke at that point. She's like, yeah, bring her to me, I've got a new apprentice now, because you're just not cutting it if you still need my guidance, and you're not just going to take advantage of it yourself.
Who has more contempt for their apprentice? Palpatine with Vader, or Snoke with Kylo Ren?
Obi-Wan with Anakin?
Yeah. I don't know. He's not a full-on apprentice, is he? Maybe he is. I don't know.
Well, he keeps talking about having to complete his training and all that stuff, so he's pretty much an apprentice.
I don't see it as the same relationship, but it's interesting.
Well, I guess, we don't really get to see them doing anything with each other, so it's hard to really say. But
no.
I think for copyright reasons, he couldn't call him a Padawan. He had to call him something else because the Jedi still have owned Padawan.
You know, the Jedi lawyer is showing up.
Yeah. Jocasta knew.
She's a librarian. Yeah, maybe both. Nothing in the rule book says that you can't be both a lawyer and a librarian. Just ask Jocasta New, the lawyer librarian.
Who coincidentally happened to write the book. So, right. Of course, she's going to say that.
That's pretty much all I had for 90. Did you guys have anything else specific to this minute?
No, I think I've said everything I have to say.
I've got Just two more notes on the actual timing of the minute.
Sure.
Right after the your guidance part, there's a wide angle shot as Hux is leaving, and he's just following this dotted line, the red dotted line on the wall out. And I just was thinking Pac-Man, so he's just womp-womping his way off screen. But then the big one for me, and I don't know if it was audio closely at all, but when Hux says they may have the map already, the only thing I could think of was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, when it's like, you know, with any luck, they've got the Grail already. And it was like, you know, Brody's got a 2-day head start, and he knows a dozen languages and all that little scene.
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah. You can edit that part out.
No. I just got distracted by thinking about that, and I do like that movie, too.
That's definitely underrated.
Last Crusade. And then the Indiana Jones minute guys aren't here to tell me otherwise.
I think it's adequate. I think it's accurately rated.
Hmm. It's second best.
Yeah.
I think that's up for debate. I think so, but it is up for debate. Like most things.
wait, you think most things are up for debate?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Let me tell you exactly why I think most things are up for debate. Point one. Now, speaking of things that are up for debate, where would you say, Brian, that you put this in your rankings of the Star Wars movies? And where do you put the other ones? In short, why don't you give us your ranking of all the Star Wars movies?
All right. And so Force Awakens is smack dab in the middle. But starting at the top, I'm going with Empire for the expanded music, as I love John Williams' music. So Yoda's theme and the asteroid field sequence, and then just a few more of the visuals, like with the two Imperial walkers when they both pan down and look at you from that, you know, that one angle, and anything in the carbon chamber. So that's my top one. Star Wars, then Rogue One, which had wonderful fan service with, you know, Garvin Dreis and Hutch or Dutch Vander. coming in, I've got a great kick out of that. But then R2, Dutch Hutch, 3PO and R2 just kind of thrown in out of nowhere was much more disconcerting, because it's like, if you were watching the movie without any Star Wars context whatsoever, you would have wondered who are these people and why are they talking, that sort of thing, or droids. Then Jedi, because I'm fairly old.
Which Jedi?
Sorry, Return of the Jedi, followed by The Last Jedi. So really, just that's both come back to back. A pair of Jedi. You'll get to this in a couple of years. For the record, I really like Finn's arc. Maybe the story spent too much time getting them to a place and doing the setting and the world building, and not enough time focusing on him and Rose. But it felt more like the end of a trilogy than a middle sequence. But I do like to point out that Snoke, like communism, was just a red herring.
A phantom menace.
An additional menace. Force Awakens, the first 40 minutes are great fun. It doesn't need another mega weapon Death Star. I think they could have handled it a few different ways, but for what it did, is great. Reboot, wonderful characters. So that's, I guess, what is it? That's six. Revenge of the Sith, then Phantom Menace, then Solo. And I think Solo is an excellent movie. I don't need it, because it diminished Han and Chewie's, you know, to like one wild weekend, and Lando doesn't have to say, what have you done with my ship, and Empire Strikes Back. He knows exactly what they've done with his ship, because he was there. And it was just too dark, lighting wise. It's a good movie. I don't know that I'll ever really watch it again. On occasion maybe. And then Attack of the Clones, and then, sorry Pete, but the Star Wars Holiday Special is lowest on my list. It's kind of a struggle to sit through.
That's interesting because obviously you put it at the bottom, but most people don't include it at all. So I guess that's an improvement. But yeah, it needs to be there.
Just to be mentioned.
Be in the conversation.
It's a thrill just to be nominated. Well, all right. That's, it's up for, I say it's up for debate, but it's not because it's just what you're feeling, what your personal experience was. And I don't disagree, that much. Although I will recommend you do, check out Solo because it's available now on digital and Blu-ray and the more I watch it, the more I like it. Which is a weird, I guess that happens with a lot of Star Wars, but, I don't know. I'm differently excited for each of the next four seasons so far. Three seasons?
It's all another year.
We have three seasons.
Three seasons, yeah. Right. And then Frankie Valli. It's uncanny. Well, Brian, thanks so much for joining us and supporting us and being a Patreon, being a listener, all that good stuff.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I enjoy every moment I've spent. Well, maybe not every moment, but most moments I've spent listening over the years and being a Patreon the last year and a half or so. Thank you so much for the laughter you bring to all of us. And I admit I haven't yet listened to the White Album Remix Alphabetical episode, but just because I've run a little bit short of time this last few days, but long on the new version is fantastic. They boosted the vocals just that little bit, so it's not all bass, and the outtake version's good too. So everyone else should also listen to Alphabetical the podcast all the way through, and go buy the White Album again. It's sure. Worth it.
Absolutely. But
through Amazon slash Star Wars Minute, right?
Yeah, StarWarsMinute.com/Amazon. That's where you go buy the White Album. You'll Brian will send you your cut. but if you want to be like Brian or like any of our fantastic guests from this past week, why not support us on Patreon? It's StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon, Patreon. And that'll take you to the page where you can offer us ongoing support at many different levels. And there's different rewards for different levels from nothing, which is, if you just want to say thanks and kick us a little bit of money, that's fine. No amount is too small. And although there might be some, I don't know, what's the minimum that you can do on Patreon? I'm not sure. $1? But
it has to be small enough where they can take their cut. So
right.
So,
but then it goes all the way up to if you pay enough, I'll fly out to your town and watch a sports event with you. So
when Seattle has a hockey team,
yeah,
some of us Patreons and maybe some swimmers will try to make that happen.
I love this plan.
Yeah, the team actually has yet to be named, but yeah, we'll get you out of here for the Islanders.
So if like 10 people pooled their money, that's a reasonable thing.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you can only go with one person. If it's like a group of people or a fraternal organization, perhaps.
I think the deal is that high end deal is the idea is I come out and take you two again. So there'd be one ticket for me, one ticket for the Patreons. So right. They'd have to supply the extra tickets, but that's fine. That's still a good deal.
It's still a good deal.
I'm telling you.
It's getting worse all the time because it's you'd have 10 people in one seat. That's really, really bad. But
right. Or we can alternate. Okay. It'll be like an improv game or something. You tag out.
Or they sit on each other's shoulders and wear a long coat.
And there you go. Or a big hockey jersey.
Mm. One large jersey.
The size of that thing.
Well, cut the chatter red too. Thanks again to everybody for listening, for supporting. We're going to be back tomorrow with what we call the week in edition or week in review or weekend edition, but not weekend edition. That's what we do on a Sunday. So if you support us at certain levels, you can have us 7 days a week. You don't ever have to go without us until the hiatus, of course. So if you want to check those out, you can, you know, go back through the archives. There's hundreds of episodes to listen to over there. Otherwise, we'll be back with one of our next several hundred episodes, on Monday, with a brand new Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.